Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that I can come to you, Lord, that we can come to you. And Lord, there are moments when I feel deserted, and all of us have felt these feelings. But blessed be the word of God that strengthens us. It gives us courage and helps us, Lord, and encourages us so that your gospel may be proclaimed to all people and you may be glorified. And so this morning I pray for that you would strengthen me, Lord, that you would close my mouth where it needs to be closed and you would open it and where it needs to be opened. And the words that are spoken, Lord, are the words that you want said. And I pray, Lord, as those words leave my mouth, I pray they would penetrate hearts. And I pray that faith would come through hearing of your word. And that people would turn to Christ. And Lord, I pray as we look at studying the Bible, why the Bible, I pray that you would move in our hearts and stir us to see the Bible in a new way. To see the Bible as coming to you, to know you, so that you can grow in us and move us and stir us and lead us into obedience and to proclaim your glory to the world. Help us do that this morning, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm not here to defend or debate the Bible. We're studying why study the Bible. And I think about a quote from Charles Spurgeon, who was the prince of preachers. He lived in about 1860, and he was an amazing preacher. I mean, he still carries the name, the prince of preachers. And he said, one does not defend the Bible. It is like a lion. You don't defend a lion. You simply turn it loose. And that's how I think about the Bible. It doesn't need to be defended. Just start reading it and watch what happens. It defends itself. And so Scripture for me has always been a big part of my life. Ever since I became a Christian, Scripture has just been something, even when I wasn't walking right, Scripture always was a draw to me. And it always brought me back home. So Scripture has a place in my heart. And anyone who knows me knows I have Bibles everywhere with marks in all of them. I don't have a Bible very long that I don't start marking up. It's kind of funny because I can go back and I can see all my marks. Anywhere I go, I leave little marks in it because something will grab me. And it's almost addictive. I have to do it. But I love the Word of God. The Word of God, for me, just encourages me in times. I don't know about you, but I have ups and downs. Do any of you experience ups and downs in life? You know, it's just like this morning, I did not want to come to church. I'm not going to lie to you. I have those weeks. I'm not all saintly. There's times I wake up and I go, I just don't want to do any of this. I'm not going to lie to you. But I get here and something happens. I show up and I start seeing you. And then all of a sudden, I want to be here. And then things start happening. And then I hear songs and I hear the word of God and I'm encouraged. Let's go. Let's keep moving. And God does that. That's what fellowship does for us. That's what reading the Bible together and worshiping does for us. It encourages us because we get discouraged, don't we? The Bible is so important to the way we walk. It has to become a part of our lives. And so that's what I want to look at. We're going through the Multiply book, and if you know this section, we've hit the Bible. And why study the Bible? So if you have the Multiply book by Francis Chan, I would encourage you to get it and read it and talk about why study the Bible. We have been learning about what it is to be a disciple and how we are in a church and how being a disciple in a church and how it all works together. And now we're starting to move along about not just being a disciple, but how to disciple others. Because what's the point of us learning all this stuff if we don't turn around and disciple someone else? Because that's the whole point of this, is I learn to teach others. And all of us have people around us that God has placed that we're to teach. And so we're to become disciple makers. As we start this with a question. And it's important how we answer this is going to determine how the rest of this message is going to go, and it's going to determine how you live your life as a Christian. And it's, why study the Bible? That's a question all of us should be answering in our lives. Why study the Bible? Why the Bible? Of all the books out there, I mean, there's all kinds of, I was looking up self-help books. I was amazed at self-help books. Self-improvement, self-realization, self-spiritualization, self-esteem, self. You can find so many books on self. And yet I come to Scripture and I find something totally different. One of the first things Jesus tells his disciples is what? Die to self. Take up your cross and follow me, and then you get life. Has nothing to do with you. Just think about that. So how we think about the Bible and how we approach it is going to determine how we live our lives. How do we find out? The Scripture tells us to go out and teach everything I command. That's what Jesus said. So how do we know what Jesus commanded if we don't know what the Bible says? It is through the Bible that we find out. Is it in the Bible that we find Jesus' word? His life is all recorded for us to see and to pass on to others. It has to be the Bible. How many of us would get into a car? Let me just give you an illustration. How many of you would get into a car without maps, without any road signs, if you can imagine, no road signs, no compasses, no GPS, no cell phones, and you're not able to ask for directions, Sharon? Can't ask for directions. Could find their way to New York. That would be hard, wouldn't it? We would get there, most of us, but we might be a little detours. We might get lost along the way. But how many of us, you think about this, how many of us get into our Christian lives, we get into this Christian life car, and we don't get any directions. We don't ask for directions. We don't pick up the map book and see how I'm supposed to do this. We just go for it. And what happens to us along the way? Some of us go into the Grand Canyon. Some of us get lost in the swamps. Some of us lost in the deserts. Some lost in cities we're not supposed to be in. I mean, just think about that. We get so off track, don't we, when we're supposed to get to one place. And God has the grace to point us and help us get there. But it's by the Bible we know how to live the Christian life. It is by the Bible that teaches us and directs us and guides us. That's why we have to know Scripture. Then Jesus came near and said to them in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." You know, a lot of times I read that passage and I get stuck on go and teaching. But there's a part there that he says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, what does he mean by that? Jesus is not physically here with me right now. I cannot see him. I've come to realize one of the ways that Jesus is with me is through his word. I can pick up the Gospels and I can be with Jesus. And I can see how he interacted with other people. And I can see how he talked and what he thought about. I can see who Jesus gets mad at. And I can see who people that Jesus loved. And I can see why, because he tells me. I can be with Jesus through his word. It's a living word. And he reveals himself through the writings of the apostles. Peter says, because no prophecy is ever by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God gave us the words so that we can know him. If you have your bulletin, you can look on the back. I encourage you to take notes. And there's some verses in there that I would encourage you to go and look at later. And we'll go through them. As a disciple of Christ, we need God's word to grow. Like newborn infants desire pure spiritual milk so that we may grow by it in our salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. Peter calls the word pure milk, spiritual milk. And we need it to grow. For thousands of years now, the Bible has shaped and moved lives of believers, helping them to grow into the knowledge of God and his incredible grace that he shows us through Christ. I think it's very important for us to understand what the Bible is and what does it mean by the Word of God. So many of us toss that around. What does that mean, the Word of God? Here are some thoughts about what that means. The all-powerful, all-knowing, transcendent God decided to write us. He wrote us a letter. God spoke to us in writing through the Bible. For the Christian, the Bible is the primary source on how we know God in his nature. It is how God guides us and shapes our thoughts to be more like his. Think about it. God wrote us a letter that we might know who he is. I mean, he could have done it so many other ways, but he wrote it down for us that we can see his character, his nature, and everything about him. From Genesis to Revelation, we can learn about him and his nature. He reveals himself through the scriptures. So we have to become familiar with it so it can guide our thoughts and help us with our decisions in our lives. Have you ever wanted to hear from God? How many of you have just gone, Lord, just talk to me? I mean, you're just sitting in a room or a car, or Lord, just say something. I think I'd be terrified if he did. But we all get there, right? We just want to hear. And you know, the thing is, though, I'll always hear from him. It'll be in the form of a scripture verse. Some verse, somewhere. I'll pick up and he'll speak to me. And it'll be in a time I don't expect. And it'll hit me in a way I can't explain. But I'll know it'll be an answer to what I was looking for. And it's always through the word. So God speaks to us through the word. Now we can approach the Bible in wrong ways. And so I want to look at that. I want to look at the wrong ways we approach and the right ways and why that matters. There are wrong ways to approach the Bible. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that? Here we go. We can approach the Bible. When we do approach the Bible, we have to ask the question, why? What are our motives for reading the scriptures? Are we coming because we're looking for loopholes? Are we coming to the scriptures because we're looking for loopholes? Do we want to win an argument with someone? Are we just trying to prove somebody wrong? Or are we driven by guilt? We feel guilty about something. So we go to the scriptures. Or are you driven to fully know God? That you're approaching it and you're just like, Lord, show me who you are. Let's take a look at a few of these motives. Some people read the Bible because they feel guilty about their life they are living and what they're struggling with. Guilt is a very powerful motivator. But the problem lies in that when we try to deal with our guilt by reading the scriptures, because what happens is we'll pick up the Bible and we'll see, well, to deal with this problem, I will do this, 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 and this. Because this is what the Bible says to do. Now see, I'm not seeking God to change my heart. I'm seeking to manage my sin. You see that? And I will use scripture verses to help me do that. And what happens is I become a legalist. You see that? I'm not seeking my heart to change. I'm out to manage my sin. And so I become a legalist. And here's what happens when I become a legalist. I pick up this Bible and I set standards for my life that I can't live up to. Because I'm not seeking God to help me live it. I'm looking to be holy and righteous in my own eyes. And what happens when I can't live up to that? First thing that happens is that I look at these standards and I broadcast the standards to everyone around me. I will tell everybody what I do and I don't do and why. And I'll use Bible verses. And then what happens is I start to impose those standards on everyone else around me. Even though I can't live up to them, I expect everyone else to live up to them. And when they don't, I let them know. We've all been there. If you've been around Christianity for any amount of time, you've done this. You've either been in one camp, you're still in the camp, or you've visited the camp, or you've seen the camp because you've been confronted. Right? You watch rated R movies. And I'm not here to debate about if you watch them or not, but you know the conversation. And you know how it goes. That person's not about having a heart change. They're about you not living up to their standards. And that's something we have to be very careful of because that's a slippery slope. Because it's natural for us, if you think about it, for us to want to look at other people's sin and point it out because it deflects from our own troubles and our own faults and our own sins. But it is by grace God's got to change our hearts. And he can through the Bible if we approach it with our hearts to be changed. And then we deal with others. Another wrong way is for status. There are people who are impressed by Bible verses. If you know a whole bunch of Bible verses, people get pretty impressed. That person really knows their Bible. He's the go-to guy for the Bible answer man. Let's go to him. And we can take pride in that. But the thing is, are we glorifying ourselves in that knowledge, or are we glorifying God in that? There's a difference. If you're a teacher or a pastor, you can fall into the trap of studying the Bible for the purpose of teaching. That you're not looking to listen to God, but you're just spending time in the Bible so you can teach others. And you consider that your quiet time. And that's wrong too. You might scan the Bible to prove somebody wrong. How many of you here honestly have scanned the Bible to prove somebody wrong? You know you don't want to raise your hands, but I've done it. And if you've been around, you'll do it. That's wrong. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because your motives to prove something wrong is not grace. That's not grace. I think you get the point, right? There's wrong ways to study the Bible. There's wrong ways to approach it. So why the Bible? Why did God give us the Bible? And how are we to approach it? There's three verses I want to look at, and then we'll unpack them quickly. three verses, and you got them there in your bulletin. The first one is 2 Peter 1:13, and it says this, 2 Peter 1:13. And I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and here's what it says. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay? The next one is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And you should underline these verses in your Bible. I would encourage you to. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And then the last verse is Hebrews 4:12, which says this, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as separating of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Firstly, God gives us the Bible to reveal himself to us. When we read the Bible, something quickly comes to mind. When you pick up scripture and you start to read about it, you think everything is about us. Everything is about what we do. Everything is human-centered. And we pick up the Bible, and what we find is the Bible is entirely God-centered. It has absolutely nothing to do with you as far as being in control. It's about God and his sovereignty. It's about his grace and his power. And it's through this knowledge, as we learn about him, that we grow and we learn to live godly lives. It is totally different from what the world tells us. We want a human-controlled world, a human-centered world. And God is saying, no, it's a God-centered world. I created the world. I put everything there. It is about me and my glory. Now, that's hard for some of us. But that's what we find in the Bible. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of him. And we find that in the Bible. Another reason for the Bible, it helps us understand the world we live in. The Bible helps us make sense of the world God created. Why is that important? How many of you find the world increasingly confusing? There is so much misinformation out there on the internet, television, and in print that it is just hard to understand what you believe. The Bible helps us make sense of it all. It helps put our life in perspective to God and his ways. It helps us to navigate through the landmines of this life, and it puts our feet upon a path that leads us to understanding about ourselves and our relationship to the world. Because let's look at it, let's think about it this way, that there is so much miscommunication out there, it can seem like we can get discouraged. Have any of you read something or seen something and you just get discouraged about the whole thing? I know I do. I mean, there's times that I read and I'm thinking, man, there's so much hostility, there's so much confusion, that what's the point of all this? And it makes me think about G.K. Chesterton's quote. He said, and this is right around 1900, when men stop believing in God, they don't believe nothing. They believe in everything. Just because you stop believing in God doesn't mean you don't stop believing. You start believing in everything around you. And you just think about it. That's what we're facing today. It seems like I've never seen so many ideas and thoughts and things that just seem so crazy to me, but people just believe it and they just put all their hope and their trust in it. We can turn to the Bible and we can find answers to the problems that we're facing. We can find truths on how to relate to God and to one another. It is God who created the world, and He gave us the Word to guide us as we live here, through His perspective and according to His principles. For all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Through the Bible, God enables us. He inspires us. He strengthens us. He helps us to discern our hearts. God's Word is alive and it meets us where we are so we can walk with Him. Reading God's Word reflects back our own hearts to us. It shows our sins and our shortcomings. The Word then points us to Christ through the Holy Spirit and enables us to follow Him, to be more like Him. Here's the thought. So many of us have it wrong. We approach the Bible and we read it for knowledge. We read it like we read other books. We read books to learn things and to gain knowledge or to be entertained. But the Bible isn't like any other book. The Bible is alive. For the Word of God is living and is effective and is sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating us as far as the separation from the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of our hearts. Here's the reality of it. When we read our Bible, we don't read it. It reads us. And it acts as a mirror and reflects us back to ourselves. That's what we see in Scripture when we read it. It penetrates our hearts and it reveals our intentions. It should cause us to stop and take stock in our behavior. It tests our actions and our intentions and how we treat others. What was I thinking? How was I living? Which is why D.L. Moody said this, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." Because when we pick it up, it tells us. I can tell you right now, when I'm struggling in life, the last thing I want to do is pick up and read the Bible. Because what happens? I'm convicted. I have to repent. How can I read this and not be changed? It's impossible. But it's so essential to the way that we live our lives. That's what keeps us on the path, that keeps us in righteousness, keeps us in Christ, because we pick it up and He guides us right back to Him. This is where you're supposed to be. This is where you're at. This is where you need to be. Only the Word of God does that. I've never read any other book that has done that, ever. I can tell the difference between Christians who read their Bible regularly and those who don't. As soon as I start having a conversation with someone who calls himself a Christian, I can tell you right now, it doesn't take long for me to know if they're reading their Bibles or not. Because it's just reflected in the way that they live their life, the way they talk and the way they act. It's not judging them, it's just, you just can tell. There's just something different about them, the way their hearts are, the way they talk, the way they show grace, and the way that they just live. It's just different. They think differently. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to know that He knows you. And He does this through Jesus Christ. God wants this relationship. God, who is this perfect unity. We watched this little video at the beginning, and I loved how it opened up, and it showed that God is a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect love and submission to one another. And from that, it's just almost too good to contain that He wants to share it with others. He wants to bring you into that Trinity. That's an amazing thought to me. that a sinful man like me, God would want a relationship with me and to draw me into perfect love and submission and grace and holiness and all those things. He wants that for us. He wants us to share in the perfect relationship, the perfect love. He wants us to know him. And the primary way that we get to know God is through his word. Last week we learned faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. It is through the word the message about Christ comes. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and judgment and points us to Christ who can save us. Remember, when we're sharing our faith with others, because this is what this is all coming down to, is sharing the word of God with others, to share Christ with others. We're not trying to sell something to somebody. This is just kind of on the side. I just want you to think about this as you share the word of God with others, because I know some of you struggle with sharing your faith, especially with family members. But I want you to think about this. We're not trying to sell or persuade anyone. We're sharing the word of God with them. It's a supernatural act that takes place. We share the word, and the Holy Spirit begins to take the word and starts to move in their hearts and starts to convict them and draws them to his word. And he's the one that saves them, convicts them, and points them to Christ. Our job is to share the word. It's not to convince them or sell them or something. It's to allow God to work by the sharing of his word. We share because we love them. I share the word of God with people because I love you and I want you to know Christ. I'm not here to win an argument with you. We share out of concern because we care. Because one day all of us are going to stand before Christ and he is either going to be our Savior or our judge. And I want you to know him as Savior. I want everyone to know him as Savior. And it's by the word of God that can happen. It's through the word that we learn about the Son and his nature, his love for the sick and poor. I've been reading through the Gospels, and I just am always amazed by the Gospels. Because we see Jesus, how he reaches out to sinners, and how he hated hypocrisy. You don't see Jesus get mad at the Romans. You see him get mad at the religious leaders for the hypocrisy of those who say they know and have no humility. He looked out at the crowds who were following him, and he says, "They are lost sheep without a shepherd." The people were tired and hungry and sick and lame, and he had compassion on them all. He loved them. We see in Christ the life sacrificed at the hands of sinners for sinners. Think about that for a moment. It is through the word we learn this, knowing all this, we have to approach the Bible in the right way. We do not come to the Bible seeking to find verses to support our views and what we like to do. But we come to the Bible to draw near to Christ, to have it shape us in our hopes and our dreams. Every time we read, we find out more about Christ and more about ourselves. Approaching the Bible in the right way makes all the difference. Here's a thought to think about. Maybe you've thought about this and maybe you haven't. When you read or approach the Bible, you are approaching the mind of God himself. You are approaching the mind of God himself. Every time you open up your Bible, you are encountering the creator of the universe. You know, I thought it's something I heard this week, and I was thinking about how everything obeys God. Did you know the stars are in place because God placed them there? The mountains know their boundaries because God placed them there. The oceans know where it belongs because God placed them there. The animals all know what they're supposed to do because God has placed them there. And they all obey him. No one questions God in the universe except man. Think about that for a moment. That's just a side note. We're the only ones who question God. We should approach the word with humility and with a heart that's a student. Teach me, God. Show me what you want me to know in your word. We should lay aside all our agendas and allow God to shape our thoughts. This is important to understand. Because when you read the Bible, things are going to happen. You are going to come across things that do not match up with what you believe. How many of you picked up the Bible and just read something and you go, uh-uh? In our culture especially, think about all the things that we're dealing with. There's a lot of bumping up with Scripture. And you're going to have to make a decision. When you come across an idea that doesn't match up with your culture or even what you believe, what do? Our first thought when we come across that is the Bible must be wrong. It must be wrong. Why would God put that in there? It makes no sense. I don't know. I've come across these things. I've walked away just thinking that can't be. But then something happens. You try to explain it away. You try to make excuses why it's in the Bible. How many people, I hate watching television because when I see a theologian on there trying to explain away something, it just, the History Channel kills me when I watch it. And you might as well put daggers in my, because they're trying to explain away that God splitting the Red Sea. He just split the Red Sea. I believe that. But they're trying to tell me it's a storm that came up and it was really the Sea of Reeds. And we come up to all these other excuses to why it's not that. So we'll either try to explain away or we'll ignore it. We just ignore it. It's in there. I don't read about it. I think most people don't read the Old Testament because they don't like the God they see there. They say, forget that. Go in and kill everybody. I don't understand that. That's blood. That's guts. That's terrible. What kind of God is that? Why would he do that? I mean, I just heard some people read through the Old Testament. That's some of the things I heard. At the beginning of this message, I said how you answer this is going to make all the difference. Why read the Bible? Because you're going to have to answer that question. When you come across things you disagree with God and Scripture, I assure you, from my perspective, the Bible isn't what needs to change. It's you. I assure you, God isn't the one who needs to change. We are the ones who need to adjust. God gave us the Bible to change us and to give us direction and purpose in life. I don't question the Creator onto why he wrote it the way he did. Who am I to darken his doorway, as he said in Job? Who is this that darkens my doorway and questions me? I couldn't imagine Job at that moment. Especially in the old King James that says, gird up your loins and stand before me. The heck with that, I'm running. You win. Francis Chan says in his book, until we begin reading the Bible in order to draw near to God and do what he says, we are completely missing the point. How we approach the Bible makes all the difference. We are to approach the Bible for God to change us through an encounter with him. That's how we're to read it. My prayer this morning is that you will take up your Bible and you will read it with the right motives. I pray that in your reading you will encounter the living Christ. And I pray he changes your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for so many things. And your word has just shown me, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, that many of us, and especially in our culture in this time right now, we are dealing with very difficult things. And Lord, we come across your word and it just doesn't line up, doesn't make sense to us. And so, Lord, I pray in those moments that you would give us the grace to understand what it is that you're saying to us and help us change. Change us, Lord. Change us to be more like you. Shape us into who you want us to be. Give us the grace and the humility, Lord, to approach your word as a student, humble, not prideful and arrogant, trying to justify what I do, who I am, or try to make myself look bigger in someone else's eyes, but to be a humble servant of you, following the ways of the Master who gave us the word. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, that have never put their faith in you, I pray now, Lord, you'd start to move in their hearts. And I pray, Lord, as we start to sing this morning, you would just open their hearts and their eyes, and they would see you for who you are, that you are the Son of God who walked in flesh, who died for them and their sins, and was buried and rose again that you might give them life. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that's never trusted in that, who's trusted in you in that, that they would this morning, that as we sing, they would step out and pray, Lord, to give their life to you, to believe in you. Please, Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.